how food allergies feel like they're everywhere? Up to 10.8% of adults in the US live with them, and for some, a tiny fraction of a peanut can send them straight to the ER. It is an absolute epidemic, but a new paper in Science Translational Medicine asks a pretty wild question. What if the cure isn't a new drug, but somebody else's gut bacteria? Okay, here's the thing. We are diving into fecal transplants in a pill and how swapping microbes might actually reprogram the body to tolerate peanuts. Picture swallowing 36 capsules packed with donor gut bacteria to retrain your immune system. That's the setup for a landmark phase 1 trial involving 15 adults with severe peanut allergies. Every single participant was hypersensitive, reacting to 100 milligrams or less of peanut protein, which is less than half a single peanut. The trial had two parts. In part A, 10 participants took all 36 capsules without any prior prep. But for part B, 5 participants took a 4-day course of broad-spectrum oral antibiotics first, specifically vancomycin, neomycin, and metronidazole. The idea was to knock down existing gut bacteria to give the donor microbes a cleaner slate to settle in. Wait, so you're giving donor stool to people with severe food allergies? Before we even get to whether it worked, were there any major safety scares or allergic reactions to the capsules themselves? Surprisingly, no serious allergic reactions or severe safety issues at all. The treatment was well tolerated overall. 5 of the 15 participants experienced mild to moderate side effects, things like temporary nausea, stomach cramps, diarrhea, and fatigue, but those all cleared up completely within 12 to 48 hours. Okay, so a few uncomfortable hours for a potentially huge immune reset, and no one landed in the emergency room? Exactly. It proved that oral encapsulated FMT could be delivered safely to high-risk allergic patients, opening the door to see if it actually changed their tolerance. So, after swallowing those 36 capsules, what actually happened? Out of the 15 participants in the trial, 6 of them, that's 40%, saw a massive jump in their peanut tolerance. Wait. So 6 people went from reacting to under 100 milligrams of peanut protein, basically less than half a peanut, to handling 300 or even 600 milligrams? Precisely. They went from reacting to a tiny fraction of a peanut to tolerating 1 or 2 full peanuts. That increased threshold wasn't just a temporary blip either. It held strong 4 months later. And 3 of those 6 responders came from the small group of 5 who got pre-treated with antibiotics. That's a remarkable shift for a single intervention. But under the hood, what was actually happening to their immune system to make that happen? Their blood revealed a genuine cellular reset. In the responders, pro-allergic T helper 2 cells, specifically those producing interleukin-13, plummeted within a month. At the exact same time, they saw a significant, long-lasting surge in ROR gamma T-positive regulatory T cells. It's like a set of cellular scales tipping away from allergic alarm and toward active tolerance. But strangely enough, their baseline IgE antibody levels and skin test wheal sizes didn't actually drop, did they? It's wild that serum IgE stayed virtually identical. The transplant didn't erase the allergic markers from their blood. Instead, it rewired how their immune cells react to the threat, keeping that allergic cascade from running wild. Which brings us to a massive question. 6 human participants gained peanut tolerance, but human bodies are complex. How do you prove it was genuinely the newly established gut microbes protecting them, and not just some other variable? You take the host out of the equation. Picture a completely blank biological slate, germ-free mice raised in sterile isolators with no gut bacteria at all. The team took stool samples gathered 4 months after treatment from human responders and non-responders and transplanted them directly into these allergy-prone germ-free mice. Right, And the strange part of doing a human-to-mouse transplant is waiting to see if a human microbiome even functions in a mouse. What happened when they challenged those recipient mice with food allergens?
The split was stark. Mice given microbiomes from human non-responders suffered full-blown anaphylaxis when challenged. Their core body temperatures dropped sharply and serum allergic markers shot up. But the mice that received post-treatment responder microbiomes were remarkably protected against allergic shock.
And did their immune systems show the same specific cellular shifts you saw in the human responders? Down to the cell type. The protected mice had a significant expansion of protective ROR gamma T positive regulatory T cells in their gut lining, along with reduced pro-allergic IgE antibodies, fewer mast cells, and lower inflammatory cytokines. In contrast, stool collected from those same responders before their transplants offered zero protection. So that's the definitive proof. By moving the microbes into germ-free mice, they proved the gut community wasn't just tagging along for the ride, it was actively driving protection. Precisely. It transformed an encouraging clinical finding into hard causal proof that the responder microbiota itself transmits oral tolerance. So when the researchers took a deep dive into the gut microbiomes of those protected mice, they noticed something really striking. Out of all the complex microbial communities in the stool, one particular group of bacteria was uniquely enriched in the mice that received responder transplants.
Wait, so even though the human donor samples didn't show a clear bacterial fingerprint up front, once those samples took hold inside the germ-free mice, a distinct group actually stood out?
That's the fascinating part. In the recipient mice, members of the genus Bacteroides, specifically species like Bacteroides ovatus and Bacteroides uniformis, showed up in significantly higher abundances if the donor was a clinical responder.
It's basically a clean slate inside those germ-free mice, right? The host environment acts like a filter, allowing these specific, beneficial microbes to thrive and multiply.
Spot on. And Bacteroides aren't random players here. Scientists have suspected for a while that these particular gut microbes help train the immune system, but seeing them selectively bloom in the protected mice really narrowed the search down to key protective candidates.
So instead of needing an entire ecosystem shift, this pointed directly to specific Bacteroides strains doing the heavy lifting?
They actually tested that. Giving allergic mice just those individual Bacteroides strains single-handedly shielded them from an allergic reaction.
But that leaves a missing link. If standard human sequencing didn't immediately show a single smoking gun microbe, how did the researchers pinpoint what was actually changing inside the human patients? Rather than just counting bacterial heads, they looked at chemical output. The team ran untargeted metabolomics on the participant's serum, their blood fluid. And in the human responders, a clear signature jumped out. A significant increase in primary bile acid metabolites like colate after FMT. Non-responders showed no such bump.
Bile acids? The same digestive compounds your liver secretes to break down dietary fats? The very same. But the gut microbiota acts on those liver compounds, deconjugating taurine or glycine tags and transforming primary bile acids into secondary ones. And when they checked the recipient mice, they saw the exact same metabolic fingerprint, fecal levels of primary taurocholate and the secondary bile acid taurourso-deoxycholate were markedly elevated in mice given responder microbiomes compared to non-responder ones.
Okay, here's the thing. How does extra bile acid chemistry actually prevent an allergic adult or mouse from going into anaphylaxis?
Because bile acid metabolites function as direct biochemical signals to host immune cells. They promote the differentiation and expansion of ROR gamma T positive regulatory T cells right in the gut wall. That specialized Treg population acts as a metabolic brake, actively enforcing oral tolerance and keeping immune cells from triggering a full-blown allergic cascade.
Okay, so up to this point, we have a really strong correlation.
bile acid metabolites are elevated in responders, and Bacteroides species are flourishing in protected mice. But in science, correlation isn't cause. They needed a smoking gun. You've got a key sitting near an open lock, but you need to verify it actually turns the tumbler. The research team focused on one specific species enriched in the protected mice, Bacteroides ovatus, and isolated the gene for an enzyme called bile salt hydrolase, or BSH.
Wait, so BSH is the microbial enzyme that snips away taurine or glycine from primary bile acids, kicking off their conversion into secondary bile acids. To test if that step is strictly required, they engineered a mutant strain of Bacteroides ovatus with the BSH gene completely deleted. Then came the head-to-head trial in allergic mice. The normal, wild-type Bacteroides ovatus protected the mice from anaphylaxis and drove a massive expansion of those protective ROR-gamma-T regulatory T cells in the gut. But when they gave mice the BSH-deficient mutant, that protection completely collapsed. The mice experienced full anaphylactic drops in body temperature, and their ROR-gamma-T treg cells failed to expand at all. Functionally, giving them the mutant bacteria was no different than giving them a saline vehicle control. That is such a clean knockout proof. Stripping out that single metabolic gene stripped the bacterium of its power to educate the immune system and confer tolerance.
It really pins down the mechanism. It's not just having Bacteroides ovatus present in the gut, it's the specific biochemical work of BSH deconjugating bile acids that actually shields the host against life-threatening reactions.
So, even though 15 patients is a tiny starting sample, proving that gut microbes can retrain immune tolerance opens a completely new door for allergy care. Which leaves some big questions, since we still don't know the ideal dosing or why antibiotic pretreatment helped in some cases. Larger trials will have to untangle all of that. Exactly. It's early days, but for millions living with severe food allergies, it's a genuine reason to be hopeful.